Well, one of my daughters wanted to pick up a U-Haul and go to various shopping stores, food stores here in the St. Louis area, and get them to donate bottles of water. And she wanted to haul them down there. And I said, Wendy, the water's starting to flow now, so you don't have to worry about that. Anheuser-Busch is sending 2.5 million cans a week, I'm told, out that way as well. So she held back, but it's kind of neat to know that your kids are prepared to do stuff like that as well. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast AM. And also, don't forget this weekend, we'll have Ian Punnett on Saturday. This will be the first Sunday of the month, so I will do Sunday night's program. And then we'll also be here for a live program for you on Monday night, Labor Day night. And on that night, of course, I'm looking forward to our discussion with Gordon Michael Scallion in his Map of the World, Earth Changes map. He sent me a copy, his latest version of his map, and I'm going to tell you, this planet is condensed. I'd like to find out from Gordon when he thinks this is all going to happen, because this huge, huge country is in spots. The East Coast seems to be protected. It's the West Coast that's gone. And then there's some little spotty islands all over the place. It's absolutely staggering. And let's hope it's something that can be avoided. Let's go to our Something's Happening hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. Hi, George.
Hello.
George, this is Tina. I am upset.
What's the matter, Tina?
I am very upset over several things. And first of all, I'm upset that these people didn't listen and get out when they could have. I'm upset with them. I'm upset with the mayor. I'm upset with the governor of Louisiana. President Bush ordered that Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama were disaster areas before this storm even hit. He did that in order for the local and state government officials to order or put in their request or whatever it is that they have in order to get the troops down there in that area close enough so that after the storm happened, it wouldn't take 5 or 6 days for people to start getting the help that they needed. I am upset with the mayor, because from the clip that you played this evening and the clips I have heard him on Fox News for the last 6 days, when the looting first started, he wasn't concerned with the looting. Now, when they're stealing out of a grocery store, I don't consider that looting. I consider that survival. That food's going to go to waste anyway, because there's no electricity to keep it cool. Somebody walking around with TV on their head, I consider looting.
That's looting.
Yeah, and there's no electricity, so what in the heck are they going to do with the doggone thing? You know, where are they going to take it to be able to watch a TV? The part about them telling them to go to the Superdome, I think that was the biggest soup, S-O-U-P, I've ever heard, because that's what it became. Because if any flooding was going to take place, they should have realized that the first thing that's going to go.
They still have people there, by the way. They're still in that place.
I know they do. I know they do, honey. They have people on the bridge that have been on the bridge for 5 days with no food and no water. And this is why the Fox News analysts and reporters are almost in tears, because they you know, when they first got down there, they were just kind of reporting and still a little bit upbeat and just kind of giving. But
wow.
Now it's beginning to run away on them, too.
Yeah. Now it's sinking in, exactly.
Right. But see, here's the other thing about the mayor. There's school buses all over that damn area. He could have had someone go to the projects, because those people don't have cars. Half of those people are in wheelchairs. A lot of them are sick. How do you expect somebody to walk to the doggone Superdome when they can't walk? They're in wheelchairs, or they've got a 90-year-old grandmother, or they've got a very ill grandfather. How are those people supposed to get there? I mean, for God's sakes, Fats Domino even had to be rescued.
This could be one of those cases where everyone associated with it screwed up.
They did, because the mayor could have said, look, this thing's coming in. We need to get the people out of the projects. He could have had school bus drivers get those buses, go to the projects, go to every block, every corner, collect those people, and take them to the Superdome.
When the first levee broke, which was Monday night, because we were on the air when that happened, having been to New Orleans one time in my career with the Navy, I said, this bowl is going to fill up unless they can stop that thing.
But the thing is, George, they were talking about this 3 days before that storm even hit there, what would happen. You had it on your show.
Yes, the possibilities.
I had it on his show. Everybody has been talking about it being nothing but a big bowl, and that if the water came in, it would contain toxic waste. It would contain diesel. It would have gas. If we had fires, this is equivalent to when San Francisco had their huge fire and you dang near had to, well, in fact, you did. You had to rebuild San Francisco.
Absolutely, 1906.
Right. All right, this is the same thing. This is equivalent to that.
Okay, so what are you so mad about? I mean, all this you've said is
angry.
True.
I know, but I am angry because people are trying to blame the president. I don't think it is the president. The president didn't have to declare that area a disaster 3 days in advance like he did.
That's well, I think they all made mistakes. I think Bill Clinton made a mistake. I think Bush made a mistake. You know, they had $250 million allocated to repairing and shoring up those levees, and they diverted the money. In the Clinton administration, they decided not to spend it. They cut it. In the Bush administration, they moved the money to Homeland Security and the Iraq War. I mean, so in terms of pointing fingers, I like to point fingers at people who are responsible. I think both those administrations made a fatal mistake. I think they were on borrowed time and didn't expect this catastrophe to ever happen. And it did, and it caught them all. And now the price is all these lives.
Yeah. I used to live down there. My son was down there. I have been crying for 5 days. And I finally heard from him today.
I went and got I don't know if you heard my opening tonight. I went and got some bottled water out of my refrigerator. And I got to tell you, I felt so strange, so guilty drinking that. I didn't know what to do. You know, I said, you know what, here, okay, George, you got to drink water, you know, you got to live, but you've got people down in New Orleans who don't have this,
it's
a weird feeling.
Granted. Now, I drive a truck, and I called my company today, and I asked them, is there anything that we're going to be doing? I want to volunteer. I mean, I will drive without pay to get stuff down there, and the vice president of the company said, Tina, the FEMA had requested a command center to send down there. We are sending a command center. We have donated trucks to pick up from E.I. Lilly, which is in Indianapolis, take down the medicines down there. And he is setting it up with payroll for drivers to be able to have deducted from their checks going specifically to the hurricane victims.
To the relief thing. Good for you.
To the relief. So, I mean, I know, and I was up in, I had a load going up to Portland, Oregon. I stopped in Arizona to a Walmart to stock up on water and stuff for my truck. And they had Fox News on the TV screens in the Walmart. And they had a big jug there. And it was halfway filled with dollar bills and change. And it was going dedicated to the relief fund. So people all over this country, their hearts are pouring out. And I could cry every time I think of someone there that is having to live in that stench. And I am pissed off because the sheriff and everybody else is telling these people that they can't come outside. They could live and be better off outside on the parking lot of that Superdome.
Or why don't they get them all tents?
Well, See, yeah, anything. I mean, tents outside, at least they're breathing fresh air.
Absolutely. I would leave. Hey, I got to run, Tina. We got to take some more calls. I understand your frustration. I really do. And you know what? In our lifetime, I think, unfortunately, we're going to see more catastrophes like this. I still believe one day an asteroid is going to plop down on this planet. And God knows what will happen when that occurs. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. My name is Catherine. I'm calling from Toronto from 640.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I was scanning through my World Almanac yesterday or a couple days ago, just looking at, you know, topics or aspects of New Orleans. And I'm a Canadian, so I was interested. And it said that they have two major medical research facilities in New Orleans.
Two major medical facilities.
Major medical research facilities.
Oh, all right.
So I'm thinking, what type of medical research are they researching? You know, they could be doing, you know, level 5 virus kind of stuff that's going into the water or you know, bio.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Sure.
And nobody's reporting it on, you know, any of the news channels. Nobody's saying anything. And, you know, people are wondering why people are being segregated. Could that be the reason?
Well, who knows? I'm not sure if that's the reason. I think this was an exercise of incompetence, quite frankly, all the way around. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mike. I'm trucking across Idaho. Right
hey,
now I'm
Mike.
Sitting on an exit, so I can't give you my horn. There's truckers sleeping ahead of me here.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, what are you paying for diesel now, by the way?
Well, I'm a company driver, so, you know, I just fuel up at the terminal
at the pump.
In Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
We fuel up en route sometimes at truck stops. I've seen it out here, 350 a gallon. Out in the West, it's not too bad right at the moment.
Are you being rationed at all?
Not yet. There's out west. We have our own refineries right down Salt Lake City in Wyoming. So right now we're not feeling a pinch on it yet on the supply end of it. It's just getting darn expensive and going up every day. So
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What I wanted to talk to you about, and I've been trying to talk to you or Art for the last 9 months on one world government and what I think's really happening here.
Okay.
Who's behind it and what's going on. And I'll be as brief as I can. Is the way I see it, there are three main groups competing for one world government and control of the world. First of all, there's the Western democracies, like the United States, Canada, the G7s, Western Europe. They want to spread democracy around the world and control the economies and the people and resources through the military industrial complex, the multinational companies. And this is where are the, all the guys you talk about, the Illuminati and the Masons, the Trilateral Commission, all those guys come into play there. Second group would be the Islamic radicalists that want to spread their revolution around the world. And the kingpin of that, of course, has been pointed out is Iran. They want to implement that, their theocratic their theocratic government throughout the Middle East. They want to take over the whole Middle East, including Pakistan, all of the Arabian Peninsula, North Africa, and they want Europe as well. It's still the Crusades that they're fighting on that end of it. So they want to gain the control of that area. And then the third group is the Russian and Chinese coalition. And I think everybody realizes that's a fact now. And I mentioned this on our show back in December on the prediction show. On the last day, I was right at the tail end. I couldn't outline the whole thing, but
well, you hit that one right on the head, especially with this joint maneuver that they've had going on.
Exactly.
Now.
Well, what they want to do, and many of your guests recently have talked about the Russian and Chinese are using proxies to fight their war. They're behind the North Korean nuclear program. They want Crazy Kim to nuke, Japan, Korea, the United States if they can, and Japan. They want Iran to eliminate Israel. What Russia and China's plan really is, they want to eliminate the United States as a superpower so they can dictate to the rest of the world, you know, how it's going to be for them. And they want to gain control of the world that way. But they have to get rid of us first.
You know, in retrospect, it sometimes appears that maybe the former Soviet Union was better for us to keep in check than what's happening now, because with all these splinter countries and Russia, we're dealing with too many people, and they seem to have lost control over certain nuclear ingredients and everything else.
Right. You know, that's exactly right. We knew who our enemies were at that time. At least we pretty much did. Now it seems like everybody is. But Russia and China are using these Islamic extremists to, they're not directly telling them what to do. They're just an ally. They're a proxy doing the dirty work for them, using other people's assets to get rid of us, the terroristic attacks. They just want to weaken us and take us out as a superpower so they can dictate to Western Europe how it's going to be, and dictate to even the Islamic radical faction. If they gain control of the whole Middle East and the oil, Russia and China will deal with them. And as soon as they step out of line with them, Russia and China will just take them out if we're out of the way.
So, all good theories of all three of your thoughts are pretty accurate, I think. Couple it, though, with this Illuminati that truly, I believe, has its own motives for what's going on. Using the three bases of what you just said. I would agree with that. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
This is Brian in Miami.
Hi, Brian.
Well, actually, I have a challenge for some of your listeners, maybe, if you deem it right.
What might that be?
That might be. I own a catering company here. My business is located in County Florida.
All right.
And I vow to offer a hot meal if somebody can get me close to the people who really, really need it. Be it the Red Cross or, you know, be it the Salvation Army.
How many meals can you handle, Brian?
I'll tell you what, between me and my wife and maybe one or two other people, with what I do, we can handle around-the-clock hot meals for 22 hours a day.
I mean, but how many people can you handle? Hello? Well, he's gone. Yeah, his cell went out on us. Oh, well. I don't know how many people you would be able to handle that way, quite frankly. If you can go around the clock... that's a lot of food, but it sounds like you need a way down there. So if you want to try to call back, if you can get in, which you may never be able to again, I'd be more than happy to send your name around and see if there are any potential volunteers for you. If you need to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. It is that simple. You can simply do that, and I will be there. In a moment, we're going to spend some extra time with your open line calls and also what I call conversations with Richard C. Hoagland. He's done yeoman's work for us for really the last several weeks, you know, with the shuttle landing and also this tragedy. Richard has been on top of a number of these things for us. But let's open it up because it's now open lines. I still want to talk with Richard about some things dealing in Mars, believe it or not, because that's always been something that's fascinated me as well. So in a moment, Richard C. Hoagland will be back. Your phone calls and me on Coast to Coast AM. Several months ago, Richard C. Hoagland, Michael Heiser, and several other heavy hitters were at the University of Wisconsin. And that conference was recorded on videotape. Richard has turned it into what he calls the God, Man, and E.T. DVD series. It is a very lengthy series, much more complete than you would get anyplace else. Well, what Richard would like to do, he did this for the tsunami victims, and he would like to do this now, beginning right now. Any sale of the Godman and E.T. DVD series, he will donate a portion of those dollars to the relief fund down there in New Orleans. I'm going to give you a toll-free number. You can also get the Godman and E.T. series off Richard's website, enterprisemission.com. But the toll-free number, and there are operators there now, by the way, 877-345-6222, 877-345-6222. I think Richard's wish would be just to defray his expenses, and then he would be in a position to send some of those dollars down to the relief victims. So here, if you've been thinking about picking up this CD or DVD, this is a better time to do that because it's going for a very good cause. 877-345-6222, or you can go to theenterprisemission.com. Now, when we come back, we'll wrap up with the rest of your open line phone calls and also what I call conversations with Richard C. Hoagland. We'll bring him aboard and chat with him, too, about Hubble, about the shuttle, about Mars, about Katrina, about weather manipulation, whatever's on your mind. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with your phone calls. Richard C. Hoagland this last half hour. Richard, I want to thank you, by the way, as we wind up this week for the work you've done for us. You know, I know that you do not like to turn me down when I request, call you, and email you to come on the program, but you have gone beyond what anyone would expect over the last really several weeks, beginning when the shuttle was having its problems, to through this situation that nobody really anticipated. I just want to publicly acknowledge and thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Can I have Robin back now?
Yeah. She's been working. She's been your assistant, hasn't she?
Well, last night she did a brilliant stroke of research, and I wanted to get into that. Because for all the people listening and the folks that called in who are very skeptical, as they should be, that humankind, mankind, the United States government can control the weather, she found last night through her sources a bill introduced in March of this year called the Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Authorization Act of 2005, introduced in the Senate. It's S-517 in the 109th Congress, first session. It says to establish the Weather Modification Operations and Research Board and for other purposes in the Senate of the United States, March 3, 2005. It says Mrs. Hutchison introduced the following bill, which was read twice and then referred to the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. Let me read you just a couple little things. This is dynamite, George.
And why do we need this bill? Why weren't they just going to do it anyway?
Well, because this makes it legal. You understand that we live in a legal framework. There's, you know, sovereignty, you know, maritime law and civil law, and there's all these niceties about legalisms. We are turning up the water on our own, you know, country legally. Because they pass these things, as you know, at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
If she had not found this, if Robin hadn't found this, I would not be in the position I am now to tell you that weather modification is a practical science, as I and several other guests, you know, Scott Stevens and Charles last night and Jim McCanny have been saying for some time. To establish the Weather Modification Operations and Research Board and for other purposes. I love the other purposes. I wonder what that is. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. Section 1, short title. This act may be cited as the Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Authorization Act of 2005. Purpose. It is the purpose of this act to develop and implement a comprehensive and coordinated national weather modification policy and a national cooperative federal and state program of weather modification research and development. And then it goes on to talk about definitions, the definition of the board, you know, research and development, weather modification. At the very bottom, it's really interesting because it talks about how this will be funded. Okay? Authorization of appropriations. There is authorized to be appropriated to the board for the purposes of carrying out the provisions of this act, $10 million for each of fiscal years 2005 through 2014. any sums appropriated under this subsection shall remain available without fiscal year limitation until expended. Now that sounds like a drop in the bucket, right?
I mean, but it adds up, right?
Well, it adds up. You know, it's from 2005 to 2014. How many years is that? What, 11 years?
2005 to 14, 9 years.
Oh, 9 years. Okay. But here's where they got it. Gifts, Section C. The board may accept, use, and dispose of gifts or donations of services or property.
What?
All of, exactly. The board may accept, use, and dispose of gifts or donations of services or property, which means they can be funded by an extra-governmental black ops operation, and Congress has no oversight.
Or company.
Or a corporation. Yeah. Exactly. So let's say an oil company wanted to jack up the price of oil. God, they wouldn't do that now, would they?
No, not especially company, especially not around Labor Day.
No, oil company beginning with the letter, oh, let's pick one, H. How's that? My name,
okay.
H.
That's okay. Good. H is good.
So they contract through the board, making it legal, to make weather. All right, by the way, the effective date, it says here, this act shall take effect on October 1, 2005.
That's a month away.
A month. 1 month from tonight and change. So look, what I'm saying is I can't prove tonight that Katrina was man-made, but the circumstantial evidence, and remember, the greatest cases on the planet are made from circumstantial evidence. The circumstantial evidence says that we Americans should be looking really, really hard at this, George, because tonight it's New Orleans. Tomorrow it could be St. Louis or L.A. or San Francisco or New York or Hartford or Cleveland or Albuquerque or any other place where people are sitting on watching television and saying, oh, those poor people, and feeling it could never happen to them.
We've got to assemble a group of panelists and experts and look at this thing very closely.
I really think that's an excellent idea.
Let's do it. Let's go to the phones. If you have open line comments or questions for Richard C. Hoagland, or you just want to talk, you're on the air, east of the Rockies. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
Austin, Texas.
All right. Go ahead. What's on your mind in Austin,
Texas? The city with a heart tonight.
Exactly.
Yes, we have.
Huge heart. You have done... You guys have done a magnificent job.
Yes, I'm very proud of our city.
you really should be, because you got a governor who leads, you got a mayor who leads, you got people who are competent. You actually know how to say, you know what they're doing, George, with every one of these evacuees, because I hate the term refugees, every evacuee coming in, the first thing they hear is, welcome to Houston, how can we help you?
That's class.
And they had stuff set up, and people were just bringing water and peanut butter, and I bought some water, and they were out of peanut butter, but I bought some granola bars and some things and took to them. But the reason why I'm calling is that I have dreams that come to pass, and I dreamt 3 days before the San Francisco earthquake that it was going to happen, because in the 60s I lived in San Francisco, and we were watching the game, the baseball game, when it happened, and I had a dream that about the tsunami, and I dreamt 3 days before it happened that and I told my mom, I said, I had the strangest dream last night. I dreamt that I was in this beautiful place, tropical place, and I'm from Hawaii, and so I'm kind of used to the ocean, but I saw all these children playing in the water, and they were dark complected. They weren't, you know, African American, and they were different, you know, and I really couldn't put my finger on what type of people they were. But as I was walking down the shore, the water started to recede. And I know that when the water recedes, there's a tidal wave coming.
Look out.
I started running up and down the beach, screaming to these children to get out of the water.
And this was 3 days before the real tsunami occurred?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And I was screaming, and telling them, run for your lives. Run for your lives, okay? Well, I told my mom the next day, and I said, oh, my God, I had this nightmare and da-da-da-da-da, right? Well, when the tsunami happened, sometimes I forget about them, and my mom reminded me. She goes, while we were watching it, she goes, oh, my God, Sandy. She goes, I said, what? She goes, your dream And I said, what, James? She goes, the ones with the little dark-complected kids on the beach. And I went, oh, my God.
You got to start writing these down so you don't forget them.
Well, in 63, I had a precognition that something had happened to my father, and he died 2 weeks later.
Now, did you have a three-day dream in this particular case with Hurricane Katrina?
Yes, sir, I did. Friday night, I had a dream, and I was in the kitchen with my mother talking to my mom, and my brother was in the living room. And all of a sudden, there was this blast. It was such a blast. It was like a bomb had gone off, and it affected. My mom hit the floor, and the combustion from it was so bad that I could not see straight for a few minutes.
It affected my sight.
Well, yeah, in my sight.
Let me ask you this, because we have to take some other calls. Are you having any more dreams about other things right now?
No, but when I woke up from the dream, my body actually was hurting as if I was there and I had lived through that bomb.
No, you have some very powerful dreams. And what you need to do for us the next time you have one of these dreams, whatever it might be, is just to let us know. Just call us so we can at least start to document what's going on. Richard, do you have dreams, my friend?
I used to. I can't really remember them anymore. You know, I actually would like to, because you have little flashes. Years ago when I lived in Berkeley, I used to have really clear and interesting dreams. And, you know, when you get older, he said gracefully, they tend to go away or they become submerged in your subconscious. One of the things that I'm very, very concerned about is that this is only the first of several of these events. And I'm really concerned about Southern California. There have been this series of earthquakes along 33 latitude in Southern California, north of San Diego.
Yes, many, and they're happening quicker,
concerned, and I'm really, you know, if this woman does have this ability, she needs to fast blast you if she gets something, and then you need to tell, obviously, the rest of us.
Yes.
But Southern California, remember how Scott Stevens said he thought the next thing might be an earthquake?
Yes.
Because the same technology which can create and steer hurricanes, when I say create, I mean, you know, amp them up from their natural formation, can also create earthquakes. In fact, I'm not so sure now that the Great Northridge earthquake was not a test of this technology. There's a whole bunch of reasons we don't have time to go into it tonight, but the signatures were all wrong. All the seismic experts were really confounded. It just didn't fit the profile. And if someone is playing mischief with us, if they're really creating tragedies to tie us in knots, or they're doing it for other reasons, economic, psychological, whatever, that would be where I would be looking next. And if by discussing it, we can defang it, then obviously that's what we need to do.
What do you think HAARP is used for, Richard?
I have this blog, which has been an extraordinary experience because I've got, for instance, 510 replies to the one I did on Katrina a couple days ago. I don't know what the average response on blogs are, but we are being inundated with very interesting responses, including by some people that are on the inside who are leaking information through the blog, through the comments. We have one participant, he remains anonymous, who claims he was a member of the Air Force 2025 where we will own the weather study, and he gave us some very interesting information. And I laid out a scenario where the study could in fact have been a way to pull together a whole bunch of scenarios and opinions that would then be used by the operational group in another section to actually carry out what they were discussing in theory alone.
Good point.
We had another guy who came in a pseudonym who claimed forthrightly that HAARP has been used to basically alter the tracks of Hurricane Ivan. He even laid out how it is done, by thermally heating the ionosphere and affecting the umbrella in the ionosphere above a hurricane. Remember, Jim McCanning and I are in agreement that hurricanes are not just simple thermal machines.
Right.
In our model, do you know why when a hurricane runs up on land, it runs out of steam?
Well, it doesn't have the energy from the oceans anymore.
Ah, that's
right?
The conventional model, that you run out of hot water, that you need warm water for it to basically function, right?
That's what I would say.
What else does seawater have that is crucial?
Salt.
Exactly. And what does salt and water do? It makes it electrically conducting. In the McCamey model, which I really think Jim's onto something here, when you run a hurricane up on shore, you lose that conductive loop between the ionosphere and the ground, and it runs out of juice.
It's like an Edgar Cayce battery.
Exactly. So, according to this source on the blog two nights ago, HAARP is used to tickle, that was the term he used, to oscillate, thermalize the ionosphere above the hurricane. And by moving the beam around like a searchlight, they can basically steer it. And he came out with a piece of data that I have told nobody, including my closest associates, that we were looking at the hurricane tracks last year for Ivan. And remember how everybody was terribly worried that it was going to run over Jamaica and there'd be thousands of people killed? And it suddenly stopped, made a sharp left-hand turn, and literally went around the island.
These things are making, like, left-hand, right-hand turns.
Exactly. Well, this guy said that was done deliberately, and I hadn't talked to anybody about the steering tracks of Ivan as part of our hyperdimensional model. I hadn't published it on the web. I hadn't talked to associates. It's just one of those things I tabulated for a future reference when and if we acquired more data.
This guy
knew things that he should not know, and he says HAARP is being used to steer these storms by appropriately affecting the ionosphere, which, of course, would steer them through electrical currents, because they're really vast electrical engines. They're not thermodynamic systems like conventional meteorology says.
Hey, I've got a minute to go. I just wanted to ask you about NASA. Anything on their plate that's worthy of talking
about? Yeah, the next time we talk, I need to tell you about the effect of Katrina on the shuttle. It's not a small story, but it's a major, major thing we need to get into, and it shows you the ramifications of this all the way to something as esoteric as outer space. We have a major breakthrough from an inside source on deep impact. We have got a hell of a story for you on what they really found and what they're not telling you. There's so much else going on. Oh, and then we have the Mars stuff. There are things on Mars we need to talk about. We have a lot on our plate, but obviously the well-being of the people in Houston tonight and in New Orleans and in Biloxi and the rest of the Gulf Coast are uppermost in our minds. So, again, everyone out there, please think good thoughts so these people get back to safety as soon as possible.
Richard, thanks again for spending the whole week with us, updating us and everything else. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend with Robin. You're more than entitled, my friend.
You too.
All right. And the rest of you, of course, will continue to move along in the weeks, months, and years to come. For Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Thank you. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.